Despite chaos and controversy, Trump favorability stable throughout 2019. Now, that's the headline of a new report from the respected Public Religion Research Institute. And as always, it's rich with insights into the groups and groupings that add up to the result as a whole. Joining me now with some of the highlights is PRRI Director of Research, Dr. Natalie Jackson. Natalie, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me.
For a lot of people, this unshakable level of support seems impossible to understand. But on the other hand, you also found equally unshakable levels of disapproval on the other side of the aisle, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. Views of President Trump are very polarized on several dimensions, not just by party. And the opposition is just as strong as the support.
Hmm. It's white Christians every time, isn't it, Natalie? Talk about the impact this demographic group continues to have on these numbers.
President Trump's favorability is definitely bolstered by white Christians. The highest support, of course, comes from white evangelical Protestants. 64% of them view him favorably. Mormons are also above 50%, 55% of Mormons view the president favorably. And then it drops slightly under half for white Catholics, white mainline Protestants, and the mostly white group of Orthodox Christians. So those are at 48 and 49%. So certainly well above the national average, even among the smallest groups. Our national average throughout 2019 was 41% favorable. So, you know, he's definitely getting a consistent boost from all of the white Christian groups, but it's largest among evangelicals.
Well, there can be no question that this administration is laser-focused on keeping its promises to at least this part of its base. I'm curious, though, at this point, what percentage of our population roughly belongs to this white Christian cohort as identified here?
It's hovering around 40% of the country. White evangelical Protestants are about 15%, and the other groups make up about another quarter. Certainly that's lower than it has been in years past. We're seeing a steady decline of white Christians relative to the entire population. And so, but it's still a very large group, you know, 40% of the country that votes regularly at very high turnout levels is a pretty powerful coalition, even if their numbers are declining.
Mm-hmm. Well, what other groups are contributing to this unwavering level of support?
Well, obviously Republicans. those are the clearest ones. We have 79% of Republicans showing favorable views of Trump throughout 2019. We did a follow-up just a couple of weeks ago in the middle of February, and Republicans were up to 84% favorability on Trump. So, you know, it looks like there is kind of an effect of, you know, maybe starting to come home prior to the election, as we often see in election year data. The other groups that are pretty strong for Trump, we pulled out in the report everyone who was a majority favorable. You know, with the average being 41%, if a group got above 50%, that showed that they were pretty substantially above the average. And not surprisingly, it's variations on white subpopulations. White men are 55% favorable. White Americans without a college degree, sometimes this group's referred to as working class Americans. The whites among that group are 52% favorable. Mormons, as I mentioned, are also above 50%, mm-hmm. and older white Americans, over 50, reached that majority status. 53% of white Americans over 50 view Trump favorably. Mm-hmm. So in general, it's an older white religious coalition. We put a regression model in the report, which is a fancy way of saying we accounted for everything all at once, mm-hmm. to look at what contributes most to being a strong supporter of Trump. And, you know, that's what we got back. Mm-hmm. Even accounting for everything else, the most likely people to hold favorable views of Trump are Republicans, conservatives, older people, white people. There's a little bit of an interesting thing. It's the lowest income and then the very highest income people. Hmm. So people that make more than $200,000 a year, kind of Trump's sort of peer group in that respect, also show a little bit higher support.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And rural Americans.
Yeah. This president always defines damaging news, accusations of corruption, the impeachment process, even the current coronavirus crisis in terms of partisanship. Any bad news is a coordinated attack on him. But looking at your findings, I don't see any bump in sympathy support, just like there are no lasting drops in support. We're stuck, aren't we?
It's amazing, isn't it? It's, you know, one of the things that didn't make it into the report was we did a comparison to Obama's favorability ratings in his third year of his presidency to match, you know, this is the third year of Trump's presidency. And there was considerably more movement in Obama's numbers. And he hovered over 50% generally favorable. So we are seeing a very different phenomenon here. You know, in the report, we have the first chart that notes the Mueller report on the possible Russian coordination as a place where Trump's favorability kind of dips for a little bit, mm-hmm. and then it comes right back to the average. The impeachment inquiry announcement really didn't have a large effect. The impeachment charges didn't have a large effect. And, you know, like I said, we reran one more number 2 weeks ago after the conclusion of the impeachment trial, and we got basically the same numbers. Mm. Again, Republicans had gotten a little bit more favorable toward him, and Democrats, conversely, got a little bit less. Yeah. But overall, things looked identical. Nothing shakes views of Trump. They're just very, very deeply ingrained at this point.
From everything that you've seen, do you think it's a matter of such entrenched loyalties that nothing can shake them on either side, or is it possible there are stimuli that have not been tested yet? Because if this is indeed a permanent level of approval, there's no motivation at all to rein in any impulse this president might yet have.
You know, he made the joke when he was running that he could shoot someone on mm-hmm. Fifth Avenue in New York and mm-hmm. not lose any supporters. And I think most of us observing the campaign thought that was a pretty extreme and unrealistic statement. However, I think we're seeing something similar to that. You know, it would take completely turning on his base in a substantive policy way. Mm-hmm. You know, suddenly upending his support for conservative views and completely changing his entire governing attitude mm-hmm. to really shake these beliefs loose. Because what these people are seeing is that, okay, personally, he has some things they disagree with, but as far as what he's doing as president, he's getting judges into place that are conservative and support conservative views. He's pushing back and undoing a lot of restrictions on pollution and mm-hmm. air control and, you know, things that conservatives and really free market type people have not liked over the last mm-hmm. 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, he pushes back on LGBT rights. And so they see that he's promoting an agenda that they like, so they're willing to overlook all of the personal flaws. And so as far as, you know, his personal life, I'm honestly not sure what would shake, mm-hmm. you know, these views loose.
Yeah. I'm interested in whether through the years, have you ever seen this kind of rock-solid consistency on any similar volatile issue as this administration?
I have not. You know, we have presidential approval and polling numbers back to Harry Truman from Gallup. Mm-hmm. And in general, public opinion has been a much more volatile thing. And there are two forces, I think, at play here that it's impossible to know which is more responsible for what we're seeing now. One is that we were already on this polarization track. You know, even before Trump, the parties were becoming more entrenched in their respective corners, and the public was responding to that. At the same time, Trump has really been a solidification of that. So, mm-hmm. you know, there are these two forces, Trump and overall polarization, coming together to make this just a very sticky, to use your word, stuck, public opinion issue.
The American Values Atlas is an incredibly comprehensive profile of this nation and its people. If we take the chart generated by this look at support for the president, are there any other areas where we see Americans respond in similarly consistent ways? And if that is true, who are those Americans?
Well, most of the other issues we do in the American Values Atlas are substantive and not about politicians. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to have a large report coming out on out of the American Values Atlas on LGBT issues later on in March. And, you know, we released a similar one last year, and we see generally the same kind of groupings. Mm-hmm. Pro-LGBT rights, you know, we have the more liberal groups. Anti, we have more conservative groups. The unique thing about LGBT issues is, particularly with same-sex marriage, has been the increase in support for it over mm-hmm. the last 15 years. Basically, it's upended. It's gone from about 30% support to about 30% not supporting over that time period. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do tend to see more movement in substantive policy issues simply in response to how society moves.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Natalie Jackson is Director of Research at the Public Religion Research Institute, the work of which is only growing in importance as the power of the political religious right grows in this country. The report we've been talking about today is titled "Despite Chaos and Controversy, Trump's Favorability Stable Throughout 2019." You can find it along with a treasure trove of other valuable research at PRRI.org. Natalie, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for what you're doing. You're always welcome on State of Belief Radio.
Great. Thank you for having me.